Thank you for listening to this sermon from MCA Church. If you'd like to learn more about what's going on in our community, head to our website at mcachurch.ca. Thanks for listening.
When people don't want to be on camera, they avoid eye contact, and then I just chase them down. Excuse me. I think I'm going to. Stewart Park, it's full of sunshine, full of people, it's Christmas. We're down here this afternoon just to interview some people about love, about Christmas time, about the spirit of Christmas. And so join us as we kind of chat with people with my trusty mic, and we talk to them about what love means at this time of year. If you had to tell someone right now in this moment that you love them so deeply, who would that be? So if you had to tell someone right now who at Christmas time that you love them so much, who would that be?
I couldn't choose who I love more between my family and friends because, you know, you have to love everyone equally.
I probably would call my wife and say, I love you so much, for sure. If I could, because that's a phone call.
Would you call her right now?
I could call her right now, but she's at home sick. I'll call her right now. Sure. Oh my gosh. Let's do it. I'm just calling to say that I love you very, very much. Yeah, I know you love me, but I love you more.
My husband.
That's a great answer. And obviously you would say your wife.
I guess I would.
Okay. Yeah.
How about my mom?
Do it.
Okay. I just called my mom and told her I had the wrong number, so she was a little upset outside the bathroom right over there. She's like, well, I figured it was the wrong number or else you wanted something. So
right? So do you think that you'd be able to turn and tell me or tell your mom what you just told me?
Okay.
Yeah?
I would have to say that I would have to say my mom because, well, she just does so much for me and I really want her to feel nice. So I really want to do something extraordinary.
You are extraordinary, buddy. He gives me so much love every day.
Mom, I'm in the park right now and I'm on a camera and I'm supposed to call you and tell you that I love you, and why I love you is because you're amazing.
Isn't that so sweet?
Christmas.
Yeah. That's exactly the point. See, your mom gets it.
Yeah, she
awesome.
Would.
Aw, thanks, Mom.
Okay, Mom, I love you. I'm going to get off this camera now.
All right, love you too.
Bye.
My name's Keith, and I'm one of the pastors here at the church, and I want to welcome you here. Maybe this is your first time at the church. You were invited by a friend, or maybe you just wandered in here thinking that we are a movie theater or something like that. Regardless, I want to welcome you here, and great to see Cindy, our friend Cindy, in action on the streets of Kelowna, asking a question about love, about the spirit of Christmas. And I wonder, how would you describe the spirit of Christmas? I mean, what words come to mind for you? It seems to me like a reasonable question to ask at this time of year, doesn't it? Because we often talk about the spirit of Christmas. How many of you woke up this morning, opened the blinds, looked outside, saw this dusting of snow, and thought, okay, this is going to help me get in the spirit of Christmas? Or maybe you were looking for a gift, and you went into the parking lot at the mall trying to find a parking space, and you whispered under your breath, this is not getting me in the spirit of Christmas. Right? We talk about, I even heard about it in the grocery store the other day. A lady was talking about the spirit of Christmas as she reached for the eggnog. It might have been a different spirit of Christmas she was talking about. I'm not entirely sure, but how would you describe the spirit of Christmas? What are things that come to mind for you? For me, I think of something that my wife Gina and I did when we lived in North Vancouver before we had kids. Every Christmas, we would serve at the North Shore Community Christmas Dinner. Now, this was a dinner that served 300 people who were new immigrants to Canada, many of them refugees, and people who were experiencing homelessness. And we were part of the serving team, so we would get a table, and our job was to learn everyone's names, little details about their life, and to serve them, love on them, and to invite them, welcome them into community, and show them a really great festive meal at Christmas time. Incidentally, over the years, Gene and I had been part of this. They asked me to be Santa Claus. Me. And I didn't know whether to take that as a compliment or an insult, but they asked me to be Santa Claus. So I would dress up as Santa Claus because everyone knows he needs a little help, and I would hand out gifts to kids. And this is an aside, of course. There are a few things that I've learned about Santa Claus. A couple things. The first is that he is not very popular with young children, with babies. He's not popular with babies. He makes them cry. But strangely, he is very popular with some of the older ladies. And it made for some really awkward moments, but we can talk about that another time. When I think about the Christmas spirit, I think about that dinner and serving those beautiful people. How would you describe the Christmas spirit? What is it for you? For sure, we would use words like generosity and kindness. For others, the Christmas spirit is embodied in the word family, being surrounded by those they love. But there is one word that I think describes all the rest. It sums up all the rest. One word captures the spirit of Christmas. And the word is love. Love. Think about it. Every act of generosity, it is born from a place of love. Kindness. Kindness is spurred on first from a place of love. Family. Being surrounded by family. That feeling, that sense of the Christmas spirit, it is born out of love. More than anything else, I think, the spirit of Christmas is love. Or, more specifically, it's love in action. Because that's the way love works. Love acts. In order for love to be complete, love must first take action. For instance, love is not me saying, I love my mom. But love is me turning to my mom and looking her in the eye like the boy in the video did and saying, Mom, I love you, and I want to do something extraordinary for you. That's love in action. It's love with flesh on. Or you maybe want to picture this. You could picture a young girl who her father just said, I love you, dear. And she said, I know you love me, Daddy. But how does she know? How does she know that her father loves her? She knows because she's seen his love in action. She's been part of the countless bedtime stories and cuddles over the years. All the rides that he's taken her to dance practice and so on and so forth. The limitless words of affirmation and blessing. She's seen love in action. Love with flesh on. And that's what the Christmas spirit, I believe, is all about. It's about love in action, love with flesh on. Now, I say all of this because it points us to something greater. The Christmas spirit actually points beyond itself to the true meaning of Christmas. It points beyond itself to the first Christmas and all that it means, because that first Christmas was all about love in action. It was all about God's love taking form, quite literally. It was about the love of God putting flesh on. It's what the first Christmas was all about. We read about it in an ancient poem that we have. And this poem was written not long after the first Christmas, so many years ago. And it is a poem that describes what happened that first Christmas. Now, we can read it in the Bible. It's in a book we call the Gospel of John. And here's how the poem opens. Here's the first line. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. But not only that, the Word was God. Now, it might sound like a strange poem to us at the beginning, the Word. What is the Word that this poem is speaking about? Well, the Word in the original language Greek comes from the word logos. It's where we get the word logic from. The Logos, at the time that this was written, it referred to the source of all of life. In the beginning was the Logos. In the beginning was the source of all of life. And that source of all of life was with God, but more than that, that source of all of life was God himself. And the poem goes on halfway through in verse 14 of this poem. It tells us that the Word became flesh and blood and made his dwelling among us. Incredible. The source of all of life, the logic that made the world, the love that created you and I, the Logos, the Word, it became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. That first Christmas, love took form. Love put flesh on. And it stepped out of heaven and into our world. I came across this video a number of weeks ago. It's produced by Hi-Ho Kids. Anyone familiar with this group? They produce videos where they ask kids their perspective on certain topics. And in this video, they asked the kids their perspective on this. They asked the kids if they could describe love. They wanted them to describe love. And then based on the child's description of love, they illustrated a picture. They made a picture of what love looks like based on what this child thinks love looks like. And I wonder, what do you think love would look like if you were to illustrate it? What would your picture look like? Well, one of the girls in the video, she described it this way. She says, love looks like hugs and bubbles. Of course. Then the boy, after her, said, well, no, love looks like a burger and fries. Now, that very well could have been my son. Luca, where are you, buddy? Yes, we love our burger and fries, don't we? Then there was another boy whose illustration had a can of Sprite on it, and he described it this way. He said, love is like a can of Sprite because it makes me feel kind of tingly inside. But my favorite was this one, and you can guess why it's my favorite. It's a little strange. The boy said, love looks like a lollipop with a scorpion in it. Now, either that boy is going to need some serious therapy when he grows up, or he is onto something. Love is oh so sweet, and it's oh so risky at the same time, isn't it? That first Christmas, God was illustrating love for us. He wanted us to see what love looked like. So love needed to take form, and it took form in the person of Jesus Christ. Love stepped out of heaven and came to show us what love looks like. See, everything that God ever wanted us to know about himself, he has made known to us in Jesus. That's how the poem ends. In the very last line of the poem, it says, no one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, Jesus, who is himself God and in closest relationship with the Father, he has made him known to us. Think about this. God could not stand the thought of you going through your whole life without ever knowing him. So he took on flesh and moved into the neighborhood so you could know him. But there's more. God couldn't stand the thought of himself going throughout all eternity without you in it. So he took on flesh and he moved into the neighborhood and he made way for broken people like me. Broken people like us to be reconciled to a perfect God. Because that's what love does. Love goes the distance. Love searches us out and embraces us in. It's love in action. It's love with flesh on. And it's what the first Christmas was all about. And here's why it matters. Here's why it matters in your life. Here's why you cannot miss what happened that first Christmas. There's two reasons. The first, the reason that the first Christmas matters is because the love that Jesus puts flesh to, the love of God, is the very love that you have been made for. By your very design as a human being, you have been made, you've been designed to know God and to experience his love. Someone once said that we live with this God-shaped hole in our hearts. And it's a hole that only God can fill. And unless it's filled with God and his love for us, we live a restless life. Yes, we might experience love, but we're always somewhat unsatisfied. You see, we can experience love apart from God in a way. And we can experience happiness apart from God, but never to the fullest extent. You see, human love without God's love is always incomplete. It always leaves us wanting more. It always leaves us unsatisfied. But the Word became flesh in Jesus, and He moved into the neighborhood so that we might be filled with the very love that we were made for. The Word became flesh to fill the God-shaped hole inside each one of us. And because of this, it means that we can be freed from the anxiety that so many people live with in life. We no longer need to live with the anxiety of wondering whether or not we are loved. We no longer need to live searching for belonging or striving for acceptance, because the God of God stepped out of time and space into our world so that we might be filled with the love that we were made for. We can't miss it. But the second reason that the first Christmas matters is because it shows us the love that makes the world work. You see, God's love doesn't simply make our lives better. It makes life work. Jesus, in his time on earth, he was literally showing us the love that makes the world go round. Live his way of love, and life will work. Don't live his way of love, and life begins to fall apart. A couple of years ago, during the Christmas season, it was after Christmas, my family and I, we had a chance to go up to Big White and spend a few days there in between Christmas and New Year's. And I was tired after the Christmas services. I was looking forward to getting away with the family for some peace and quiet, just to be quiet and be up there with the family and enjoy some relaxing time. And so we walked through the door of the condo we were staying at, and there was a big couch in the living room. I went straight for it. I sat down in the couch, and I breathed a big sigh. Ah. Then I said to my son, I said, Luca, why don't you go get the backpack that you packed and bring it here? We'll play with some of the toys that you brought. And so with a brightness in his eye, Luca went running over to the door to grab the backpack that he had packed, and he brought it over to me. And he began to unpack it so we could play with some of the toys. He packed the bag himself, I'll have you know. And so he pulled out a book for us to read. He pulled out a toy for us to play with. And then he pulled out this. Now, why on earth would a family with a 5-year-old boy have a cymbal and a drumstick? I cannot answer that question. You need to ask my wife that question. But with joy in his eyes, Luca, he said this to me. He said, Dad, you know what we can do? Every morning we can wake up the neighborhood for skiing. And he just starts banging on it. Dad, this is going to be fun. The Bible says a lot of things. It says you can have everything in the world, but if you don't have God's love, your life is a little bit like a clanging gong or a resounding cymbal. That you can have everything in life, but if we are not filled with the love of God and are not living in the way of God's love, our life is a little bit like useless noise. Life doesn't work unless we live with the love God has shown us in Jesus. It's a humble, selfless, God-infused, go-the-distance and embrace people in kind of love. When we live that way, life works. When we don't, life languishes. It doesn't work. Live with God's love, and you will know joy and peace. Live with God's love in your life, and you will practice forgiveness and compassion. Aren't those the things that make the world go round? but let go of God's love. Let go of God's love, and joy does not last. Let go of God's love, and there is no peace. There's no motivation to forgive those who have hurt us. There's no fuel for compassion. That first Christmas matters, because through it we see the love that makes the world work, the love that Jesus has showed us. Perhaps you came here today because you were invited by a friend. Thanks for coming. Thanks for taking the risk. Maybe this is the first time you've been here and you're like, I don't know what I'm getting into. Are they going to serve Kool-Aid? What are they going to do? Like, this is going to be weird. And maybe it has been weird, but maybe you've experienced joy. I want you to know that the people who invited you here this morning, they invited you because they wanted to share with you the true Christmas spirit, because it is a love worth sharing. It is God's love in action. He couldn't stand the thought of you going through life without ever knowing him. And he couldn't stand the thought of himself going through eternity without you in it. So he took on flesh and moved into the neighborhood so you could be filled with the love you were made for. And you could have the love that makes life work. We need but open our hearts to receive Jesus, the one who brings heaven's love to us. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for a holy moment that we can stand under the love of heaven and experience what the true spirit of Christmas was about, your love in action. And so, Lord, as we open our hearts to you, I pray that your joy would erupt in this place, because this is a love worth sharing. This is a love worth singing about.